Well, once again, good morning. We are in a special series on the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes come at the very beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this is where he first launches into what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And he's creating a culture that's very different than the culture that we experience in the world. And he's laying out the characteristics of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And as Craig mentioned at the beginning, this wasn't meant to just be theoretical. It was meant to be applied and lived out by Jesus' followers. I heard a funny story once from Francis Chan, and he was saying how sometimes we respond to Jesus' teaching kind of like we hear it and think that's great, but then never do anything with it. And he said, imagine if he told his daughter, go clean your room. And then a half an hour later, he came back and the room was not cleaned. And he says, what's going on? He said, oh no, Dad, I heard you. Clean your room. I even learned how to say it in Greek. And I had some friends come over and we did a whole Bible study on every single word. You know, go clean your room. We totally understand it. And we laugh, but sometimes that's how we approach God's word, is we're like, we hear it and we're like, yes, that's great. And then we don't allow it to really penetrate our lives and change how we live and draw us closer to God. And so with this series, we're really trying to take the Beatitudes and make them personal, to hear reflections and perspectives from people in our community about how they understand and apply the Beatitudes so that all of us can better understand and apply the teachings of Jesus. And we're fortunate today to have Jody Metcalf with us. And Jody is a part of the 11 community. From time to time, you'll probably see her up singing, sharing her musical gifts. If you don't know, she's also a licensed counselor. And today's Beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we thought it would be neat to hear from a counselor how Jody understands this Beatitude and applies it in her life. And so would you help me welcome Jody up? Before we launch into it, could you just first tell a little bit about yourself? People see you up front, but tell a little bit about who you are, your family, and some background.
Well, first of all, I'm sick, so I apologize for my voice. It may crack from time to time, so forgive me. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I work at Edgewood Clinical Services, which is here in Naperville. And we have four locations, and I am at the central Naperville location. But I am also a member of Good Shepherd and have been since 2012 with my husband. And we have two little kids that attend here as well and love it. And I'm also Pastor Glenn's daughter, if you didn't know. So that's my connection here, although we were married here before we even came here for church, so that's kind of cool. It's kind of a neat thing.
That's great. You mentioned that you're a licensed counselor. How did you get into that field? What drew you to that study?
So in college, I actually started as a theater and music major, which, you know, is where the singing comes from. That's, music's always been a part of my life. But I decided I didn't want to do that as a career. and so I thought, well, what else, you know, what else am I interested in? What else do I like? And I've always just been drawn to people and hearing their stories and wanting to help and be somebody that could just make a difference. So I started with, you know, Psychology 101, and I fell in love and just went from there and ended up at Fuller Theological Seminary in California, and that was just a great experience, and that's where I became an LMFT, and have just been doing that ever since.
Wonderful. So we're going to talk together about the Beatitude for today, which is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And as we're talking, you can think about questions that come to your mind, because at the end we'll open it up for a little bit conversation. It could be questions that you have for Jody, questions that you have about the Beatitude, and we'll have a conversation together. But you get to go first, and I gave her some questions to think about, and the first one is thinking about that passage, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What does that mean for you? I mean, that's kind of a strange phrase. What does that mean? How do you understand that?
So I thought a lot about that phrase and just that word righteousness, right? It seems big. It seems unattainable, I think, at times. But the way that I understand it is it's something that we can't attain without God. It's not something that we can ever find on our own. And so my understanding is just wanting that and pursuing God and everything that we're doing in our life is the pursuit of righteousness. And if we let God come into that process and just help us grow in every possible way, that is what that looks like. It's partnering with God to achieve that righteousness, because it's a partnership. It's not ever something that we can do on our own. So that's my understanding.
Yeah. And so what's the good news then in it for you?
The good news is that I don't have to do it alone, right? Mm-hmm. That's so hard. I think living life without God is just impossible, right? It's to me, I can't imagine not having God in my life. So the good news is that I don't have to do it alone. I can trust God and I can rely on him and ask him to come into every part of my life and just help me grow and learn and discover all these things in this partnership.
That's a great takeaway. If you take anything away from this whole Sermon on the Mount, hopefully as you go through it, you're like, what? How in the world could I ever do that? And I think that's the point. You can't. This is a standard, a life that's not possible without God. And yet, as you so wonderfully said, that's the point, that God says, I want to come along with you and help transform your life and make you new and help you live a life that you couldn't on your own. So thinking about it personally, you mentioned how God can come alongside you. Could you share maybe an example of a time when you were hungering for living for God or for a standard or something that God called you to and it was hard, but then God came in and helped you live that out?
Yeah. So my journey as a therapist has been really hard. I went to grad school and I completed it in 2011. And it took me 6 years to get my hours, and it normally takes two. Mm. So that's a really long time. And just with the way that licensing laws are and all that stuff has just got in the way. And there were a lot of times my husband will tell you that I wanted to quit. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to get there. Sorry, I might cry a little bit. But he would remind me that this is what God has called me to do. And this is, you know, I've felt this calling in my life for years, not to give up and to keep trying. And I'm here now, you know, it's happening. And yeah, I think that's a way that God used our relationship to keep me focused and keep me just encouraged and wanting to keep doing that, because that is the calling in my life and I can see that clearly.
That's powerful. Yeah. Way to go, Dan. Nice job.
Good man.
Yeah. But how important is it to have people in our life who can speak words of life and encouragement? That's the gift of being part of the community of God, where you have people like that. It's also a gift of going to a counselor, right? And to find someone who can speak those encouraging words. So you shared personally. Now thinking about it with the hat of a counselor, how do you see this beatitude of blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled?
So the gift of being a therapist is that you are invited to walk alongside people in their darkest moments and in their deepest longings and their deepest fears and sadness, but also in their joy. You get to partner and you get to really see people as they are. And that's just a gift. That's a gift to be invited into that and to be able to speak into that. But it's also a responsibility. And I think as a therapist and also as a Christian, for me, it's that God is speaking through me and using me to help people in their lives. It's all God. I'm just the vessel. So I pray for my clients, and I ask God to give me the right words to say and the right answers to give them that will help them and just point them in the right direction. And I feel like I've seen so much change and so many people grow and learn and just understand that they are intrinsically valuable because they're made in the image of God. And that is just so foundational, I think, for us as Christians to realize that. But a lot of people don't get that or don't understand what that means. And as a counselor, I get to tell people that, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. In the phrase that Jesus uses, he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we might gloss over that because most of us have never really experienced true hunger and thirst. And as I was studying this passage, I ran across, they were saying a lot of the people that Jesus spoke to, they really did understand hunger and thirst. They were just peasant workers that didn't get a lot of food. And so they knew what it was like to really feel hungry. They lived in an arid climate where it was hot and sandy, and you didn't have water that you could turn on. You had to go and get water. And so they knew what it was like to really feel thirsty. And just that sense of really wanting something. And here he's saying, really wanting God's righteousness, really wanting a change in your life. And most of the time people come to you when they want some kind of a change. And I wonder if you've maybe noticed, what brings people to a point where they recognize, I need change in my life?
So people come when things get to a point where they can't handle it anymore. And they realize, I can't do it on my own. I can't figure this out. I've tried for years and years, and something is not working. And I just need some help. I need somebody to kind of come alongside me and point me in the right direction and listen to me and help me process and see things that maybe I can't see on my own. But I feel like it's really an emotional thirst and hunger. Because, you know, we live in Naperville, and most of us are not super hungry or longing for that kind of thing, but I think we are longing for emotional hunger and emotional thirst. There's a deprivation there sometimes, and that looks really different, and it's pretty unique, but I think that's where people really are at when they come in. They're just at that rock bottom level, and they really need somebody to step in and say, okay, I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I've been a pastor long enough to know that everybody's going through something, and just know that you're not alone. If you're struggling, you have a church that loves you, you have pastors that love you, please don't wait till you're in over your head. There's people who care about you and want to help you. So know that support is available for you, and that there's wonderful counselors out there like Jody who are there to help as well. So you spoke to how someone gets to the point where they want change. You've probably seen, as you counsel people, there's also roadblocks to change. And that not everybody who wants change gets to that destination. What are some of the roadblocks that you've encountered or seen in that change that blocks the change people want to get to?
I think number one, change is hard, right? It's really hard. It's one thing to know you need it and to say that you want it, but when you get into the work of it, it's hard. It's really, really, really hard. So sometimes I think people get overwhelmed by the process, and they think, I can't do this, it won't work, you know, whatever. I don't have the skills, I don't have the tools, I'm just not ready. But I also think we get in our own way, right? We have all kinds of things that kind of speak in our minds about what's going on, and things like depression and anxiety, they lie to us and they tell us all these things that aren't true. And those are the things I think that really get in the way, is telling us that we can't do it and we don't have the strength, and that's not true. God gives us the strength to work through things, and he partners with us and he helps us. And so if we can get past those roadblocks, I think that's when the real change starts to happen.
That's great. Another question, just as you encounter people, that often there's other things we hunger and thirst for that take us away from God and really end up becoming more of a stumbling block than the prized possession that we thought they would be. What are some of the things that you've seen that people hunger and thirst for, thinking that that's the answer, but then realized that's not really the best for them?
I think success is a big one, especially in this area. Wanting to maintain a certain persona or a certain image in the community that's really important to people, and wanting their family to have the same thing. I think we get a lot of parents that want their kids to act in a certain way, and they come in and it's basically like, fix my kid. Well, that's not how it works. We have to partner all together. It's a family affair. And so, I think things like that, you know, we really think are important, and, you know, we think that we need to go after, and they're not, you know, that's not what makes a great life. And when people attain those things, I think they realize, hey, I'm still not happy. So what's going on? What's the piece that I'm missing? And that's the part that's hard, is getting over that hump, I think.
Mm-hmm. And my question to you would be to think about, what is it that you're really hungering and thirsting for? Is your greatest passion to be connected with God and to be living the life that God would have for you? Is your greatest passion to be filled with God's word and God's love? Or are there other things that are taking you in different directions? And maybe the best way to honestly evaluate that is to look at your calendar. Where are you spending the most of your time? That usually tells you what you're hungering and thirsting for. Another great way to evaluate is to look at how you spend money. It's a good reflection of what you're hungering and thirsting most for. And the good news, as you said, is that when we hunger and thirst for God and we partner with God, he fills us. And I know you have client privileges and confidentiality, and you don't have to use any names, but I wonder if you could share an example of somebody who was hungering and thirsting for change, and through your counseling, through a godly perspective, you saw how they were filled and changed and transformed.
So I have a client that I still see right now, but when she came in, she was pretty down, pretty depressed and anxious, and just not sure where to go and not sure what to do. And it was really kind of ruling her life in a lot of ways. But she's also a Christian, and so I get to use that and speak into that with her. And it was really neat to see her kind of start to latch on to those little nuggets of wisdom and truth, that this is anxiety. This isn't God. This isn't from God. This is something separate, and we can overcome it together, and that God doesn't want you to feel anxious. He wants to partner with you to help you work through that. And so for her, we really started with just the truth that you're made in the image of God. God created you for a purpose, and that is important. And I don't think that's something that we always remember, that there's a reason that we are here, we were created. And for her, realizing that and realizing that God had something greater for her, she had never been told that. Nobody had ever phrased it for her in that way. And she really started to open up and bloom and think about new careers and new things, and it changed everything for her.
That's neat. Well, we mentioned at the beginning that the whole point is applying it and trying to live God's truth in our life. And I know you've thought about this before, but studying it this time around as you were preparing, was there anything new or any insight that you had about how God might be calling you to continue or to grow in how you hunger and thirst for righteousness so that he can fill you?
Yeah. I think just to continue praying for my clients and seeing them as Christ's image bearers, you know, they were all made by Christ. The clients that are great and the clients that are harder to see, you know, there's a range. And I have to remember that God created all of them. And it's my job to show them what that looks like. It's my job to be an image of Christ in their life, because maybe they've never seen it before. Maybe they don't know what that looks like. And so I have to remember that, and I have to utilize that responsibility well, and just keep that perspective in mind in terms of praying for them and really thinking, what would God say? What would God say to you in this moment? If he was here in this room, what would he say to you? What would he want you to know about this problem or this issue that you're having? And I think for me, if I keep that perspective, it centers me and it helps me be where I need to be as a counselor.
Sure. Well, not everybody has the privilege of being a counselor. So as we think about how to live this out, what advice would you give about how we can be the 12th, how we can apply this beatitude in our lives?
I would say first, start with that truth that you, all of you in this room, were made in the image of God. And it doesn't matter what you look like, and it doesn't matter how much money you make, and it doesn't matter where you live. What matters is that you love God, and God loves you, and you can make a difference. And I think if you know that, and you ground yourself in that, and you don't let other things get in the way, like, you know, my house isn't as good as so-and-so's, or I don't have the right style, or any of those things that I think we sort of focus on, if we can focus on more the truth that we are made in the image of God and we are made for a purpose, I think if we can ground ourselves in that, that's the best thing that we can do. And then I would say use that. Use your experiences. Everybody, like you said, everybody's gone through something. Use that. Tell people about it, because there are a million people that probably went through something similar and they just need somebody to say, I get it. I understand. I can walk through this with you. Don't be afraid to share your experiences that somebody's going to judge you. You're going to help somebody. You're going to be able to point somebody to God. And so I would just say use what you have. Use what you know, because you can all be image bearers and you can all be these empathetic people that can point people to Christ.
Thanks, Jody. So the beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I'm going to ask Craig to play just for a little bit, and I want to give you a chance. You've heard Jody talk, and hopefully you've been thinking about your own life. I want to give you a chance to think about what that means for you. What is Jesus saying to you through that beatitude, and how you might be able to live that out? Also, give you some time to think about if there's any questions that you have, and then we're going to take some time to have a dialogue together. Take just a few moments to have some conversation, and never feel pressured that you have to talk or share, but it helps sometimes to hear from others, just like it helps to hear from Jody and hear her perspective. We can learn from each other and grow together. So I wanted to open it up to the congregation and see if anyone would be willing to share either something that you felt like God was saying to you on how you can live out this beatitude, or maybe a question that came to mind that you'd like to discuss further. I'm going to come out here just so I can hear you.
He said, do the people that come to me all believe in God? No, they don't. They don't. We're not a Christian counseling Christian counseling agency, but I am a Christian counselor, and so that's in my bio, and there are several people that do come because they want that perspective. But I have clients from all different faiths and all different kind of walks of life in different places.
Does that change how you run your session?
No.
Good. Okay. Could you share, because I was, there's a prayer group that's meeting at the police department, and we were talking the other night about how it's hard sometimes when we have friends who are not Christian, and how do you share your faith in a way that's not pushy, but is true to who you are and shares the good news. So what does that look like as a counselor? Like,
I think truth is truth for me, and so I believe that people are intrinsically valuable because they were created by God, but they're intrinsically valuable because they're people. And so I communicate that to them. You know, you're important because you're a person, and you get to, you know, be who you are, and that's good, and that's truth across the board. And I think a lot of people, whether they believe in God, resonate with that and can latch on to that and understand that, even if they don't understand it in a God context.
Good. Other questions or reflections as you're thinking about? Yeah, so in the back, I'm going to come just so I can hear you. So you want to apply, but how do you know what's the right step for you? So kind of just the basic question of how do you apply? How do you even figure out where to start? Do you want to share any thoughts on that?
Always start with empathy. Hmm. Always. No matter what the situation. And be genuine about it. You can empathize with anybody about anything. You don't have to have gone through it to understand why it might be hard. And if you start with empathy and people feel like you care, then they'll be connected to you and they'll want to listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say, when you're trying to figure out what to do, having another person to talk to really helps. Like, there's something to counseling. There's a reason why people go and talk to other people and get feedback. And so being part of a small group where you can talk about scripture together and bounce ideas off each other, that's so helpful. If you want to come and talk to a pastor and have that feedback, it's just, that's really helpful for me, talking to my wife about it when I'm like, I feel like God's telling me to do this, and she's like, no, you're crazy, that's not what God's saying. Or she can confirm and say, yeah, I know that, I'm with you there. But I think having other people and using the gift of God's community is really helpful in discernment. Great. I think there was another, yeah. Jody, where did you, maybe there's multiple moments, but can you think of a moment when you really heard or experienced that love in a way that you believed it?
Such a good question. I'm sure there's many moments in my life. I'm sure as a kid, you know, there were moments where I felt that way with my parents. And I think ideally, that's where we learn about love, right? And attachment is from our parents. But some of us don't have great parents, and we don't have good relationships. And so that's where that gets skewed early on. But I think there have been different moments in my life. and certainly in my marriage, going through lots of hard things and realizing that, nope, he's still here, he still loves me, and to me that's an example of God's love, because he wouldn't feel that way about me without having that in his own life, and vice versa. Because marriage is hard, right? It's really, really hard, and so, I think God has used lots of people in my life to communicate that I'm loved and I'm valuable.
That's good. That's a hard one for me, just being transparent, but I grew up in Hawaii, which everyone's like, yay, Hawaii, it's so awesome, and in many ways it was, but I got bullied really severely growing up because I didn't look like any of the other kids, and so I grew up feeling like I was a freak, that I looked weird, that I was weird, that I couldn't be loved, and so I think that's a journey I'm still working on, you know, and it's through being in a community of faith where you can experience love from other people through marriage. But if you're struggling with that, you're not alone. And I'll echo her words that even though maybe somebody made you feel like you weren't lovable, you are so incredibly loved by God, and you're loved by your church. We're so glad that you're here. Take one more if there's something that is a question on your heart or a reflection that you want to share. Yeah. Yeah. So she asked about the emptiness, the spiritual emptiness in people that are seeking. The good news is that if you hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, you'll be filled. But do you see a lot of the people that come in, maybe both Christian and non-Christian, that have spiritual emptiness and where that comes from?
Yeah, I think it happens all the time, right? I think if spiritually we're feeling good, then that usually translates into a lot of other areas in our life. And so when we're struggling, it's usually that we don't feel filled by the Spirit, and there's something blocking that for us. So a lot of times I think it can be something like depression or anxiety or something that's channeling those thoughts into not a good place. But it can also just be, you know, a lack of connection or not understanding how to do that. And so for me, it's my job to be that person, be that loving person. And if maybe I'm the first person who's ever told you that you're worth it or you're valuable, or the first person who's ever accepted you as you are, and that's my job, is to be somebody who loves people and accepts them as they are so that they can understand that they can get to that place. But I think, yeah, everybody that comes in, I would say, is probably pretty low spiritually.
Well, Jody, it's been fun having a conversation with you. Could you help me welcome or thank Jody for all
thank
of her
you.
Help today?
Thank you.
As you take your seat, we're going to hear and sing a song to continue that reflection.